Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We got open phone lines for you at 617-779-7937. So go ahead and grab one, if you so choose. We've been going very, very heavy Patriots here for the first 2 hours of the show. But we are going to take a bit of a break here in just a moment with our 8 o'clock headlines. A couple of things I just wanted to address very quickly. Texter, no, this isn't the texter, this is in the Twitch chat. I'm hearing now that Chris Curtis was also assaulted by his toddler son. This morning, I guess, Curtis said that, what was that? Did you just see that? On the screen, they just showed me Jones and Mego, I think. What was that, Zach? Put that back up there.
I did catch a glimpse. I think it was, I thought
it was like Halloween, maybe?
Yeah, it's,
no,
definitely
it's just Jones
a
and Mego.
Thing.
And that's me on the right, but Jones is in front of me. So Jones was a cow, Mego was Wednesday Adams, and I was your cousin from Boston. But for some reason, a second Jones has been photoshopped in front of me. Where did that come from? And why have I been erased? And why is there an extra Jones? I have many, many questions. And also, why did you get posted in the first place?
That'll be a commercial break conversation.
Got it. Okay. Evidently, Curtis was missing a tooth, missing a chiclet. And Hillman noticed it and said, hey, what's with the teeth? And I guess Curtis said that he was with his son. The son's name is James, I think. And got a headbutt in the face and knocked the tooth out. That's pretty. Listen, man, I know what it's like. I think our sons are around the same age. And those little head, I mean, it's just, they're like cannonballs. They really are. They headbutt you. It's like getting shot with a cannonball. That's what it feels like. And they have no sense of, like, personal space or, you know, their own strength or really anything. They just think they can jump all over, you know. Well, not every kid's like that, but mine certainly is. It's just kind of, it never stops. It's just got this motor all day long. So I have to constantly, like, we're sitting on the couch together. And if I'm in range of his head, I have the Heisman arm out. I'm like, nope, 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 no, 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 no. Up, oh, here he comes. He's standing up on the couch now. No. It's just like this. This is how I am all the time.
It's like
I've got one hand up in the air, one arm up in the air at all times when he's around.
It's like that trick when you put his hand on his head and he just keeps running in place,
yeah,
trying to get at you.
Or like, you know, he's swinging and he can't reach. I used to do that to my little brother. But yeah, in this case, it's not the fists I'm worried about. It's, you know, he's a little kid. But that head, I mean, it does damage. It could do damage. It really does. So by my tally here now, Curtis and I, we both have suffered facial injuries due to our young children. I don't know what that says about us as men, but it is a fact. These kids, I mean, they're tough out there. One other quick thing. Guy in the Twitch chat with the name Patriots Are Awful, so clearly no bias there. I see this guy in the Twitch chat time and again. Says, why should the Pats get any credit? They have the easiest, they're having success with one of the easiest schedules in NFL history. They can't score in the red zone. They barely have a run game. And no one wants to talk about any stats other than their wins. Take a look at where they rank in red zone scoring or sacks or converting on third down. You're right. They have room to improve in all of those places. You know where they don't have much room to improve? Passing offense. Ever heard of passing offense? It's kind of important. And the Patriots, by EPA anyway, have the best passing offense in the NFL, in the entire NFL. So there's that. Their run defense is still very, very good. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this last game against the Giants, everyone's going to chalk up as just another win over a bad team. And you're well within your rights to do that, if that's what you think. But if you didn't notice something a little different in that team, if you didn't notice a little extra fire in the belly last night, if you didn't pick up on that, then I don't often say this, but I'm not sure you know ball. Like, I'm not sure that, you know, maybe football is your thing. If you didn't see a difference in the way that, and this is a team that's been successful all year long. You're right. They've won all these games against these bad teams this year. Absolutely. You tell me one bad team, one legitimately bad team that's ever had a 10-game win streak.
Ball don't lie.
Is there? I can't think of one. I really can't. I mean, maybe there were some teams that were disappointing. Bad record, bad schedule, good schedule, whatever the schedule was. A 10-game win streak, you're going to say a team that's won 10 straight games isn't good? You want to say they're overrated, you want to say they're not as good as everyone says, okay. You want to tell me they're not good, it's a 10-game win streak. You know how hard it is to win 10 in a row in this league? Especially when you're a team that won 4 games one year and then 4 games the next year. In this one streak that they're on, they've won more games in this streak than they have in the last 2 seasons. Bad teams can't do that. You can't. Like, it's impossible. A bad team, even with an easy schedule, cannot win 10 in a row. They just can't. It's not the way it works. So sorry, Patriots are awful. I disagree with you that they are awful. I agree with the idea that there's room for improvement in various areas. And that, I think, is kind of nice. I think that's kind of a good thing, right? Like, they still can get better. They still have room to improve. Let's say Drake May gets the yips for a couple of games, not this year maybe, but somewhere down the road, and they need to lean on something else. Yeah, the run game can get better. That's something that they can improve on. With the guys that they have here, maybe, or with new running backs or whatever. I don't know exactly how you do it or what the deal is. They actually ran the ball very well, I thought, against the Giants. Henderson and Stevenson both had good runs and good averages. So maybe that's something that's starting to turn around a little bit too, although I wouldn't bet the farm on that one. Either way, them having various things that are various aspects of their team, elements of their team that aren't maxed out right now is good. I think it's good. I choose to look at it as a positive thing, because when you have a 23-year-old MVP candidate quarterback, and when I say MVP candidate, like, odds on favorite for the MVP as of today right now, at 23 years old, and 3 more years under team control in the rookie deal, right? Or 2 more until you have to do the 5th year, which they're obviously going to do, and then give him a gigantic contract. But in that time, in that space, as he continues to get better and he elevates his game, there's room for everything else to get better as well. And I think that's exciting, especially since right now they're 11-2. A lot of times what happens with a young quarterback is they'll play well and the team will lose because the team sucks. And everyone says, well, you know, you got this young quarterback and he looks really good. And eventually, you know, he'll start to dominate. And then the GM is going to do all the right things and bring in all the right people to surround him. And you can really build a winner and blah, 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 blah. And most of the time it doesn't go like that. Most of the time, it just doesn't go like that. That's just not the way of the world. It's not the way of the NFL. And it's really rare that you draft a kid, have a 4-win season, then in the next season, get to 11 wins in the first 13 weeks. Like, that's with a new coach, a ton of new free agents, really just the whole enema of the team and the rosters. It's one thing to get a little bit better. It's another thing to go from last to first. It doesn't happen that often. Maybe, you know, once every couple of years, and the Patriots are doing it right here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're a little past 8 o'clock, but let's get to our 8 o'clock headlines.
These are the headlines.
Okay, we are just about to tip off with the Boston Celtics. Celtics tonight. This is, I think, for them, a pretty important game. Taking on the New York Knicks. They're at home. They're tipping off here momentarily. It's one of those games. I think it's a Peacock game.
NBC and Peacock.
NBC and Peacock. So it's not just Peacock exclusive. That's good. I remember them saying, hey, and watch it on Peacock. I was like, oh, no, it's not going to be one of those Peacock-only games, is it? That's the one I don't have. That's the one. I have everything. I don't have Peacock. Because I just, you know, it was like, all right, what am I doing here? The Office is on Netflix. Then they took The Office and they put it on Peacock, and that was a big deal. That got a lot of people over to Peacock. Because people still, even now, just put The Office on all day and just have it playing in the background. I was like that for like a year or two. You know, nothing was on. I just flip it over to Comedy Central. All they do is play The Office all day. I was like, oh, The Office, okay. And then I stopped. I just couldn't anymore. I was like, this is too much Office. Too much of The Office. I know every joke. I know exactly, you know, there's episodes.
It's over. We are screwed.
Certain episodes I didn't like, you know, it's just that was it. And so I never bothered with the Peacock. They took all the episodes off Netflix. I said, that's it. No more Office for me. Sorry, Peacock. Sorry, NBC. And that's the one I don't have. And they have games on there sometimes.
No! God, please, no! No!
Maybe I need to get Peacock. God, they gouge you, don't they? Anyway, Celtics and the Knicks on Peacock, but also on regular old NBC. We'll be tipping off here in a game that I think is a pretty important one. The Knicks at 13-6. The Celtics are 11-9. They get up to 12-9 with the Knicks at 13-7, and all of a sudden, you're right back in this thing. You know, you're really right back in this thing. I feel like the Celtics have been trying to reestablish themselves this year and have made some progress in doing so. Certainly, they've done that lately. Right now, they're the 8th seed if the season were to end today. The Atlanta Hawks, they'd be looking up at, which is kind of crazy to think about. Cleveland's not great. Best team in the Atlantic right now is Toronto. But the Knicks are the number 2 seed behind Detroit. Second best team there, the team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year with Jason Tatum. That was happening while Tatum was there, so I've never ascribed to the fact that if Tatum hadn't gotten hurt, then they would have won that series. That series was out the window, and Jason Tatum was there, and you know he was part of why that happened. That being said, you go in there tonight, you take down a Knicks team that they've already lost to. They only play them once this year. I know they lost the first game they played against the Knicks. It was it was the second game of the year. They played the Sixers and the Knicks. They lost the first 3 games that they played. Sixers, Knicks, Pistons, 0-3. And they have not played the Knicks since then.
Yeah, only one time.
They played the Sixers like 4 times since then, but they haven't played the Knicks since then. So this is meeting number 2. You lost the first one. And Jaylen Brown playing extremely well. Peyton Pritchard coming off of that 42-point eruption against Cleveland. I'm looking forward to this one. Hopefully the Celtics can continue to play well, as they've won 3 out of 4 and 6 out of their last 8. All of these reasons are, you know, the reason why they're not down near the bottom of the standings anymore. They've passed Philly, knocking on the door with Toronto and the Knicks. The Knicks and Toronto flip-flopped last night. But, yeah, that's where they are, and they'll be tipping off there momentarily. In fact, I think they already have. All right, next headline. That'd be your Boston Bruins, who aren't looking too hot in Detroit tonight against the Red Wings, a team that they just scored a very nice win over, a 3-2 win at home at TD Garden the other night in a shootout, a very, very good Jeremy Swayman game. That was back on the 29th, which was Saturday. And now here they are, second part of that home-and-home. They're in Detroit, and the Red Wings are mopping them up right now. It is a pretty ugly one so far. They jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first. They just added another one in the second period. Alex DeBrincat, Moritz Seider, and James Van Riemsdyk, all with goals. And Swayman not looking great so far to start off, although I haven't seen all the goals. I don't know how they all got scored, but 3 goals that early on, especially considering how he played in the last game. Not great. We'll see. Bruins have been able to come back and make some of these games competitive, but certainly not a great one there. Morgan Geeky has 1 shot on goal. We'll keep you posted on what Geeky's doing, as he's now become the dominant story about this team. Everything's sort of going through Geeky. David Pastrnak not playing tonight. You got Janot, Geeky, Arvidsson, Corrali, Mittelstadt, you know, some guys back, Pavel Zacha, but no Pastrnak tonight. Bruins trailing 3-0. All right, next headline. This one took me by surprise a little bit, as I wasn't expecting an announcement about this as quickly as we got one, but it would appear as though Bill O'Brien and Boston College, or no, it's already been decided. BC is going to retain Bill O'Brien and are committing to a bigger football investment. Andrea Allison wrote the following: Boston College will bring Bill O'Brien back for a third season, and they will increase their financial investment in football, according to athletic director Blake James. Eagles finished 2-10, worst season since 2012. O'Brien was adamant throughout the year that he was still the right coach for the job, but the Eagles also spent the season without the same financial resources as their counterparts. This is an issue that doesn't just affect a team like BC, but it did seem to be a prevailing theme of the season this year. To that end, James announced in a statement that BC will increase its revenue share allotment to the maximum amount, putting it in line with the autonomy for conference peers. Boston College will make significant investments in operational and administrative support for football. GM Kenyatta Watson was hired Monday to support roster management, player recruitment, development, and program oversight. Watson, a BC alum, he was Auburn's assistant GM. He was a top recruiter for Georgia Tech, Florida State, and Auburn. And his hiring indicates a strong desire by BC to bring in that level of talent.
What's up, Trevor?
In addition, James said BC has received $50 million challenge to match a one-for-one basis new endowment gifts for athletic scholarships and operational costs over the next 5 to 7 years. In two seasons, O'Brien's gone 9-16. Eagles were 7-16 last year with a loss in the Pinstripe Bowl. Who'd they lose to? UConn? Is that who they played? I can't remember. Is it UConn? I remember UConn playing at Fenway. I don't know. It's been a tough year for some of these coaches. A very tough year for both Bills, O'Brien and Belichick. Very tough year for my guy, Dion. And Lane Kiffin and this whole thing at Ole Miss, I mean, that was Nebraska they lost to in the Pinstripe. But UConn, that didn't sound right to me. I said that, and I was like, it can't be right. They played some other team, someone other than
UConn. Well, UConn played at Fenway.
They played at Fenway, but it was not the Pinstripe Bowl. Pinstripe Bowl was a Yankee Stadium, right? That's what it was. So, yeah. But it's been a tough year for some of these high-profile coaches. And I was thinking about Lane Kiffin. I had to go to the grocery store today. I was sitting in the parking lot, and I was thinking about Lane Kiffin because my life is exciting. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, you know, this guy, Kenyatta Watson, they brought him in to be the new, you know, recruiter and be the new GM, and him and O'Brien will work in tandem to try and recruit kids. And I was thinking about, like, the best recruiters and what makes a coach a good recruiter. And some of it is resume, right? Like, you have to have a resume, a good resume. Bill O'Brien's case, he coached in the NFL. He coached Tom Brady. He went to Penn State after Paterno, and he brought that team out of the, you know, out of the darkness that they were under with that whole thing with the, you know, Sandusky and everybody. He was the first guy there, and he kept that program afloat. Nick Saban, you know, anybody really. I mean, anybody out there, anybody that you consider a good recruiter. Most of them have very, very good resumes. But when it comes to getting the top talent, when it comes to getting, like, the five-star guys, you know, all these teams, they all have different things going for them, but what makes someone a good recruiter? It's basically sales, right? Like, you're selling the school. You're selling the program. You're going in there. You're talking to the parents. You're trying to sell them that you send your kid to my school and you make him playing on my team, then this is going to be so great for him and his life and his future and blah, 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 blah. And you really got to sell it. And what is sales if not just BSing people, right?
You know, it's like, not rocket science. You know, we're not splitting atoms.
What sales is, right? It's sort of BSing people. So I'm I don't know, when Lane Kiffin decides to bleep off and go take $100 million from LSU, and it's like, well, what about the kid? Well, he was BSing them. That's what he does. That's what they all do. That's what being a good recruiter is. You got to be a good BSer. You got to be a good salesman. And that's what being a good salesman in 2025 in a multi-billion dollar industry like NCAA football is really all about. It's about bull bleeping people. That's it. And Kiffin's good at it. All the greats are good at it. You know, like that's part of what makes the whole ecosystem what it is, you know, these guys and how good they are at recruiting and how good their programs are and how good they are at BSing these kids and these families. That's all it really is. They can choose any school that they want to. They generally end up going for the best team, and if the teams are all comparable, they go for whichever coach BS'd them the best, right? That's what it's all about. So, I don't know. I'm not really sure what this has to do with Bill O'Brien, but I was thinking about that in relation to Lane Kiffin earlier today, sitting in the Whole Foods parking lot. And there you go. There are your headlines here at 8 o'clock. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up on what's trending, and when we come back, we have your New England Nightly News coming up at 8:30. Here's Joe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Wanted to, before we get to nightly news, which we'll have for you in about 2 minutes, the Celtics are also getting their asses kicked right now. As you just heard Joe Braverman in the, they were down like 19-6 or whatever.
It was 17-6 at the point of my trending.
Yeah, 17-6 is now 25-14, so they're making some inroads here. But the Knicks making a statement early in this one. Josh Hart has 11 points already. And the Celtics struggling a little bit here in the early going against this Knicks team that I'm sure is trying to make a statement of their own. They're not, I don't know that people are taking them super seriously this year either. So for the Celtics, they need to hurry up and get back into this one before it's too late. For the Bruins, may already be too late for them, although they have scored. They have gotten on the board.
And they just scored again.
Oh, did they? Jonathan Asperot had the first one. The second goal, don't know who scored it yet.
Yeah, it literally just happened on the monitor behind you.
Okay, let's see. That looked like Steves. New Hampshire's own Alex Steves. His fourth goal of the year. Good for him.
He's played well since he came up to the
He has. I've enjoyed watching him. He's had some good shifts, and he's lighting the lamp, scoring some points. Nice little pickup there. And he's not even really from New Hampshire. He wasn't born there. I don't think he even grew up there, but still New Hampshire claims him somehow. And that's good enough for me. Anyway, it's now 3-2, Bruins. Trying to climb back into this one. The Celtics off to a rough start as well. That game is still 25-14. Yes, with Celtics getting hurt on the boards again. Early on, you can see it already. They're having a tough time. getting some rebounds. All right, without any further ado, let's get to it. It's time for your New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
Okay, for the Nightly News tonight, we are going to head out to the town of Mashpee, Massachusetts, where if I'm Chris Scheim, I wouldn't show my face down there anytime soon. Let's go to the story here.
A small business on the Cape is picking up the pieces after a Thanksgiving night break-in. The thieves got away with tens of thousands of dollars in Pokemon cards and other expensive collectibles.
Stop it right business- there. Do we know where Chris Scheim was on Thanksgiving? Do we know? I'm just saying, do we know that he was with his family? Do we know that he was eating turkey, watching football, all those things? Because if there's one thing that I think Chris Scheim would value over even a full day of football and eating turkey and spending time with, you know, friends and loved ones, it's Pokemon cards. Like, he is nutso about his Pokemon cards. And whoever hit this place knew right where to go, because I don't know if you just heard, $40,000 worth of Pokemon cards. Keep going.
Business owner Robert Drexler shows us the damage from a Thanksgiving night burglar who shot his way into Darkwater Games with what he believes was a BB or pellet gun. Surveillance video around midnight shows the masked thief emptying cases of Magic the Gathering cards and filling his bag with Pokemon and other high-priced collectibles. About $40,000 in inventory stolen from the Mashpee shop.
Why me? What happened? What did I do to somebody that would make them do that?
Drexler discovered the mess just before opening for their big Black Friday sale.
You hear about it everywhere else, but then when you walk in and you see a hole in the door, you're like, oh my goodness, that happened to like somewhere I go? That's crazy.
Okay. Not a good story. I mean, I don't mean to make fun of this or anything like that. Terrible, terrible news for this poor guy who owns Darkwater Games, which is a card shop down in Mashpee. And they have Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, something called Lorcana. You know what that is, Lorcana? You know about any of these?
No.
And Yu-Gi-Oh, which I've heard of, but I don't really know what it is. I've seen, like, I think it's like a TV show. I feel like I've seen it on my cable before.
That was a show I remember growing up as a kid, but I never watched it.
Okay. So, yeah, surveillance video show the criminals emptying cases of Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Lorcana. What's kind of crazy to me is a couple of things. Number one, how valuable these cards have gotten over the years. Because I remember Magic the Gathering was a thing when I was in, like, middle school, when I was in middle school, and I'm old. I'm 43. I'm not old, but, you know, I'm old for card games and stuff like that. And when I was 13, so, like, 30 years ago, Magic cards were, you know, kids would play Magic cards at recess and stuff like that. And it was, what it was at my school is it was kind of split 50-50. Half the grade played Magic, and the other half played Pogs. Do you know what Pogs are? You familiar with Pogs, Joe? Shaking his head back there. Let me tell you about Pogs, okay? Pogs are little cardboard bottle caps, okay? And they have little pictures on them. And the way it works is you go out of the store and you buy Pogs, and you play Pogs with somebody, what you do is you turn them upside down, you stack them on top of each other. So let's say I'm playing against you, Joe. I take two of my Pogs. You take two of your Pogs. We put them in a stack, and then we flip the slammer, which is either a plastic or a metal pod. It's, like, thick, and you use it to slam the Pogs and flip them over. And any Pogs that flip over, you get to keep them. And it was banned from school and really banned everywhere because it was gambling. I mean, we were gambling. Like, that's what it was. It was in seventh grade, and we were gambling. And we were gambling very out in the open. It's not like we were trying to hide it or anything. Like, kids would go in between classes. We'd be like, hey, you and me, come on, let's go see what's what. Oh, you got this new, like, there'd be new kinds of Pogs. Like, there'd be Pogs with, like, the Patriots logo, NFL Pogs. Pogs with, like, skateboards on them and stuff. Whatever little kids thought was cool at the time. Whatever 13-year-olds thought was cool. Little cartoon characters and stuff like that. All sorts of different stuff on the Pogs. And you would, if you won, you got other people's Pogs, so your collection would get bigger. And what ended up happening after that is people would get sore about losing their Pogs. His slammer's illegal. I shouldn't allow, whatever. And so they'd go and they'd steal people's Pogs out of their lockers. It got very competitive. Just like, you know, I mean, how you would imagine a bunch of 13-year-olds would deal with gambling and losing in gambling. Our little idiot brains weren't developed yet. We couldn't cope with that. All we knew was that we had these cool Pogs, and now we didn't have them anymore. And what are we going to do about that? I never stole any out of someone's locker, but someone stole some out of mine. And then eventually no one could play Pogs anymore. If you even had Pogs on campus, you got in trouble. They took your Pogs away, and you would get, like, detention that day. It was a whole thing. But, yeah, the Pogs, man. And what's crazy about it is Pogs disappeared completely. Everyone just stopped with the Pogs. Meanwhile, all the Magic the Gathering kids, if they kept their cards from 30 years ago and have certain cards, they're like millionaires now. Really, I mean, like, it's incredible how much the Magic the Gathering and the Pokemon and all this other stuff just really skyrocketed in value over the last 20 to 30 years, and Pogs just died. The Pogs, that was it. No more Pogs. Everything else, though, just boom, to the moon with these things. And now it's to the point where if you want to have one of these card shops, and I don't mean this to, like, victim blame or anything, because I feel awful for this guy, but you got to have real legitimate security. Like, you can't just have a glass door that someone can bash in and then go in and steal stuff. Like, you need to have these things under lock and key. You need to have, like, bulletproof glass. Like, you have to have all of that now, because that sort of merchandise is so, so valuable. And I feel terrible for the guy. I really, really do. And I know that, like, a couple of months ago, some other card shop got hit up. It was the same kind of thing. They went right for the Pokemon cards. They went right for Magic the Gathering. And they ended up getting away with like $60,000 worth of those cards. And, I mean, again, like, I don't mean to blame anybody here, but I think that if that's the business that you're choosing to get into, then you have to make a significant investment in security. You just do.
Why me? What happened?
And, you know, that's the way. And it sucks, man, because that's Black Friday. All that stuff getting lifted right before Black Friday. And he's like, oh, what did I do? Why did they do this to me? It's nothing personal, man. It's just that these things that you have in your store, it's like a jewelry store, basically. Like, you basically run a jewelry store. And if you go into a jewelry store, there's all kinds of crazy security in these jewelry stores. You got a buzzy. Remember in the Uncut Gems, that little room that they trap the guys in at the end, right before, spoiler alert, right before they shoot Adam Sandler in the face? Like, they lock him in that little glass room so that no one can actually get in. Everything's under bulletproof glass. Like, it's really hard to rob a jewelry store. Believe me. I've tried. No, I'm just kidding. Never actually tried. But, you know, like, they don't make it easy. But in these card shops, you got to treat it the same way. Basically, you have, like, jewelry there. It's basically the same thing. You know, that same kind of value. And people out there are desperate. It's easy to flip these things, I guess. You know, you go and you steal all those cards. You can find someone to buy them probably pretty fast. You put them online, they're gone. You know, and that's that. So just word to the wise out there. Number one, watch out for Chris Scheim. And number two, you got to just be more, have more security, I guess.
Brutal bro, boast, bro.
Brutal boast, bro, indeed. There's one other story I wanted to get to. And that is a story that's in Rhode Island. If you haven't been following this, there were some incidents down in Rhode Island, one at Smithfield High School, one in Newport. Hazing stuff going on there with athletics, something a little more than hazing in one of the cases, although that's been disputed. Either way, I'll get to the actual incidents, but the headline here is that legislators announced the plan to file legislation to create a statewide anti-hazing policy for Rhode Island school sports. Joe McNamara, who is a Democrat from Warwick, chairs the House Education Committee, said he will file the legislation ahead of the 2026 legislative session, which begins on January 6th. A great day. Rhode Island already has an anti-hazing law, which makes it a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $500 for imprisonment to 30 days. But McNamara said Rhode Island needs a statewide policy for schools participating in the Rhode Island Interscholastic League. And this is all, I don't want to go too far into this because the investigations are still underway and I don't know all the details. But in the Globe today, they said in Smithfield, investigations are underway into reports that five high school players locked a Jewish freshman football player in the bathroom, sprayed Lysol through a grate in the door, and yelled anti-Semitic slurs at him. Initially, the players were suspended for the season. They were later reinstated. Parents of the five players have filed a complaint, denied they did anything anti-Semitic, and claimed that their privacy rights were violated. So, again, that's seems like there's elements of this story and parts of it that are in heavy dispute, so I'm not really going to comment on that until more comes out about it. In Newport, four teenagers have been arrested on charges of assaulting a Rogers High School student with special needs. Officers viewed several cell phone recordings of an assault that occurred in the men's locker room at Rogers High School prior to a football game. The high school's football season was canceled after the incident. McNamara, this guy, noted that hazing is not just a Rhode Island phenomenon. He said part of it is brought on by social media, the availability of cell phones. Under the proposal, penalties would be imposed on students who engage in hazing, including possible suspensions from a team, and the team's seasons can be canceled. McNamara said he would like every coach and athlete to sign an anti-hazing statement that would make them aware of potential penalties for that kind of behavior. And I think that's really what the crux of this needs to be. I understand that there's sort of, when it comes to stuff like this, beating up a special needs kid, yelling anti-Semitic things at a Jewish kid and spraying Lysol and the, you know, like that stuff, that's repugnant, obviously. Those kids should all be in trouble for that. Should get kicked off the team, if that's actually what happened. You know, if that ends up being the real story here and that's really what happened. It sounds like with the thing in Newport that there's video of it, with the one at Smithfield, I don't know. But either way, I mean, those are, if they're accurate, those are horrible things and the kids should all be punished and, you know, they should take whatever action they need to. But I also think that there is a chance when it comes to stuff like this, it can be abused, you know, like things that maybe aren't hazing can be looked at like that. Kids who are getting, you know, not on the team when they want to be, or various ways that you can weaponize it is all I'm going to say. Not a reason to ban it, but I think that one thing that really does make a lot of sense is you want to play high school sports, or, you know, whatever, grammar school, middle school, you want to play these sports, you have to sign something saying that you can't do this, and if you do, I understand that this can happen to me and this can happen to the team. And that way there's no doubt about it. That way there's no, well, you know, how are we supposed to know what crosses the line? It's just hard to know exactly what hazing always is, because I think that there's a difference between hazing and, you know, having the freshman carry your pads or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's various levels of it. There's hazing, you know, which can be at times really awful and really, you know, detrimental for kids and, you know, their psyches, teenagers especially. I mean, it can be an awful thing. But I also think sometimes things that aren't hazing get called hazing, and then that becomes, you know, a problem in and of itself too. But either way, I like the idea of this, and I think that they're on the right track. It's a smart thing to try and regulate. And it's sort of like the anti-bullying stuff from, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I feel like it's in that same vein. And, you know, every now and then you just got to check up on it. So there you go. That's what's going on in and around town here down in Rhode Island and down the Cape here in the New England at Nightly News. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The New York Giants last night, their top draft pick, Abdul Carter, was benched for the first quarter. It's not the first time he's been benched this year either. We're going to take a look back at that draft. The 2025 NFL draft that netted them Abdul Carter, the Patriots, Will Campbell, and some other picks that I think are a little interesting in light of how this season has gone so far. We'll do that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The second time in 3 weeks you didn't start. What happened?
It happens.
What happened?
I ain't gonna get into detail like I said. It happened.
Why? Why, Abdul? Like, for
asking the same question, I just answered.
That was Abdul Carter. I'm leaving. Penn State picked third overall in the draft. The pick right before the Patriots pick. It's a Christian Arcan show here, WEEI. For those who forgot, Tennessee had the first overall pick. They took Cam Ward. Travis Hunter went number two to the Jaguars. And then at three, the New York Football Giants, despite already having Burns and Thibodeau and, you know, some other guys there, pass rusher, they went and they decided, we are going to put all our eggs in this pass rush basket. We are going to take Abdul Carter from Penn State.
G-Man!
Who was awesome in college. Carter was awesome in college. I think everybody expected him to be a plug-and-play first-year disruptive force on the edge for whoever drafted him. And the Giants got him. And I really wanted Travis Hunter. I made no bones about that. Everybody knew I wanted Hunter. I love Travis Hunter. He had an okay year. Got hurt. I think he's still going to have a nice career. Cam Ward has been pretty bad, although he's been better lately and is a rookie on a bad team. So, you know, that's bound to happen. And then there's Abdul Carter, who has played 13 games, just like the Patriots. He's played all 13. And in those 13 games, he has 1.5 sacks. And one of them came last night. Prior to that, he had just a half a sack on the entire season, which is tough. As I said last night, that's tough on the stat sheet. It's also tough anatomically. Abdul Carter been kind of a bust so far in his rookie year. Kind of a bust. And not just the fact that he hasn't been productive. Abdul Carter has also been repeatedly now disciplined by this Giants team. He was, if you remember the first time he got benched, and it was the second time in three games, and it's all happened since Daboll got fired. Daboll never benched him. But Mike Kafka and his weird eyebrows have now done this twice. The first time, and it took me a while to totally understand this, but the first time it was because he fell asleep during a walkthrough. And I said, how do you fall asleep during a walkthrough? Don't you have to be walking through? Like, you fall asleep on your feet? I guess he was at another part, right? You told me the show. He was at some other, he was getting worked on and like at the trainer or something. And then he was just lying there in the trainer table, and then he just conked right out, fell right to sleep. Took a little nap. That's why Mike Vrabel says no naps. Might sleep through your walkthrough. And that was that. So that was the first time. This time, he missed a team responsibility. That's what the New York Post is saying. Pertaining to missing a team responsibility. It's part of a recurring trend during Carter's rookie season where he has not been on time. Other sources previously pushed back against the notion he had a habit of running late, but now they're saying it's a trend. Carter said, I have to be better. I have to take pride in what I do. Simple as that. He sat in the first quarter. The Patriots turned two offensive possessions into 10 points. When asked about it, you just heard him right there. I'm not going to go into detail. Bleep happens. I guess the first time he was in one of those red light therapy beds.
I ain't going to get into detail when I say shit happened.
And he fell asleep in the therapy bed. I can see that. I can see that happening to me. I fall asleep very easily. I can fall asleep pretty much anywhere. I could sit here in this chair and fall asleep right now if I really wanted to. I'm not going to, because I feel like that would not be particularly good radio. However, I could if I wanted to. I'm not going to go into detail. Ish happens. How about my bad? You
asked him the same question. I just answered.
Oh, really, Abdul? So we're the bad guys now, not you, the a-hole who can't get to meetings on time and is getting benched left and right in your rookie season? I understand, you know, a guy gets paid, he's on a bad team, he starts to, you know, think about his protecting his event. You're a rookie, man. You're a rookie. You're a rookie, and you kind of suck. Like, you aren't very good. You're not a very good pro so far, either on the field or off of it, it would seem. And that's a shame. But, boy, I mean, at the time of the draft, I wanted the Patriots to make a move. If they weren't really in love with Will Campbell and they really liked Travis Hunter, and there were reports out there that they did and that they really liked Abdul Carter, I thought, well, then trade up and get him. Trade up and get one of those guys. If you're not sold on Will Campbell, if you really think that, you know, Carter's going to be a difference maker for you, and listen, the Patriots don't have a good pass rush, so it's not like, you know, that would have been a crazy thought. Carter was clearly the best pass rusher on the board. And he was going top five regardless, and the only way you could get him is if you traded up out of 4 to 3 or to 2 or whatever. And that was the only possible way you could get him or Hunter. They weren't going to fall to you. And they didn't end up doing it. They stood pat at 4. They ended up taking Campbell. And I got to say, you know, Will Campbell hasn't been all-pro caliber or anything like that, but he's been a hell of a lot more reliable and a better all-around player at his position than Carter's been at his, no question. And that's not to say that Carter completely sucks. Like, he does get a lot of pressures. But if you're a big hotshot edge rusher like that and you come into week 13 with a half a sack, I mean, that's, come on. You got to be doing more than that. And he just hasn't been able to. And on top of that, he doesn't really seem to give a crap. And that's a tough look for a rookie, boy. I mean, that's tough. You know, for all the talk about Shedeur Sanders, oh, Shedeur Sanders, he's so arrogant, he's so this, he's so that. Abdul Carter, I mean, you know, Penn State, not everybody that goes to Penn State ends up being this, you know, prim and proper Penn State guy. All right? That's not how it always works. And Abdul Carter seems a lot more like Shedeur Sanders and what people thought of Shedeur Sanders than what Shedeur Sanders has actually been as a pro. You know, Shedeur kept his mouth shut for the most part. He had that one time where he, like, answered all his questions, like, miming all the answers, where he didn't actually talk. He just sort of, like a ventriloquist dummy, which people got mad about. I thought that was funny. I thought that was just sort of a weird, funny thing that he was doing. But he hasn't really said anything particularly offensive. He hasn't said anything like that. He's not missing meetings. He's not showing up late for stuff. He's not doing any of these things that I feel like people sort of put on him as, well, it's Shedeur. That's what he's going to be doing. Not really. But you know who is? Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter's been kind of an a-hole, and he's also not been particularly productive either. So, I don't know. I feel like the Patriots, I don't know if they ever had any real sights on trading up into the top four, or the top three, I should say, to get him or to try and get Hunter, but I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't waste any added resources on that. I like Campbell, and I feel like Carter's been kind of a mistake for that Giants team.
Also, I mean, I can't believe you're selling me a bill of goods that I'm buying on Shedeur Sanders, but Shedeur has won a game. He's been very productive compared to Abdul Carter. What did he have entering tonight? Like half a sack?
Yeah, he had half a sack. He has 1.5 now, and the one he got was last night. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like Shedeur's been awesome. He had 2 games, and he didn't put up great numbers in either of them, but he did win one of them. He won
more
his debut game.
More productive than Carter.
And, yeah, Carter's been kind of a lost cause so far. On that defense, which, you know, the Giants have had a lot of problems for sure, but they're not really getting to the quarterback that much, and they have Brian Burns with 13 sacks, and they still only have, like, you know, a couple more, one or two more sacks than the Patriots do on the season, and the Patriots have no pass rush. So, you know, I just think that's an interesting thing, and not a lot of people are talking about it. Although after that that thing last night, another benching, and then being kind of a D-bag about it, I think the tide's starting to turn there. I think they're starting to turn on Carter a little bit, and he's bringing it on himself. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll move into the final hour here of the program as the Christian Arcan Show hits hour 4. We'll start off with some Red Sox talk, because I basically avoided this all day. There is some new Red Sox development. Jeff Passan has a piece out on ESPN ranking all the potential players that could get traded in the offseason. There's a lot of Red Sox mentions on there. We'll go through all of it. We'll pick through it all with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.